messages, and Brother Randy started off in a fine fashion last night. And if you go back and remember his message, I don't have to preach but half a mine. But you got to remember now, just relax. Pastor said I had the 5 o'clock, didn't you? But I'll try to finish in good time. But, you know, I always had a little tinge of fear, regret. I was getting older. And what would happen when I had to quit pastoring? That's all I've known for 43 years. And so I always wondered how I would handle that. And I've handled it with a Bible, a computer, my wife, and a good car to travel in. We're happy with what we're doing, and it gets sort of hectic sometimes. We have a pastor friend in the hospital today, and what I'll do, I'll preach a couple of times, and I'll take off a couple of weeks and rest. And so he was sick. I preached for him Wednesday, so I'll preach here this afternoon, go back tomorrow afternoon, preach both services Sunday. And so pray for us. We just want to be a blessing to churches. We want to be a blessing to you. And we were really blessed and fortunate to have a part in this church when your pastor was in need. And we got to be here when he called and said God had worked a miracle with his son. He was scheduled to stay in the hospital 7 days, about 7 to 10 days. He was up and walking the second day, and he came home the third day, fourth day. I'll tell you, isn't that great? God is still answering prayer. God is still in heaven. He's still on the throne. And I was telling someone of an incident that happened back in 1980. When we first went where Faith Baptist Church now is, it was a mission work. And one of our neighbors asked us to pray for this little girl. She was 10 years old. She was in the hospital, and she had a malignant brain tumor. And one day the neighbor come by and said, pray for the family. She'll be dead in just a couple of hours. Well, she didn't die in a couple of hours. 2 days later, they sent her home to die. And so everybody was praying for her. She lost her mother. Her dad got killed in an accident. And she had a sister who was taking care of her. 10 years old, they sent her home. She weighed, I think, 58 pounds, just a skeleton. And I went by to see her. And she didn't want to see her. And I told her sister, I said, you tell her to get ready. If she's conscious, I'm going to come in and talk to her and pray with her. And I did. You know, the first thing I told her when I walked in that room, I said, you're the most beautiful little girl I've ever seen. You know why? She said, why? I said, because you're God's. And whichever way it goes, God is going to take good care of you. And you know, about, what, 6 months ago, I walked in the funeral home for a funeral, and I looked at this lady and I said, you're still the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. Because God made you that way. You know who it was? It's Krista Davis, that little girl. God brought her through that, and now she's such a wonderful, vibrant witness. Her whole life is witnessing and ministering to people with cancer. Well, I tell you, folks, it's good to be alive. Good to know you're saved. And good to know you're in God's hands. And take your Bibles, if you've got them open there, Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 11, wherefore remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand. Did you know a Gentile to the Jewish nation was like a scoundrel dog? They were nothing. And so this text is written by Paul to Gentiles. It's written to Gentile believers, and my, what an epistle it is. He said, in times past, we were like Gentiles in the flesh. In verse 2, we're in times past, We walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also, verse 3, we also had a conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now go back and look in verse 12. That at that time, you were without Christ. Boy, how we need to understand and look back and see our circumstances. It says in verse 1, we were dead in sin. Sin killed. We were dead. And at that time, we were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Today, our message is hope for the hopeless. Folks, we got to realize within ourselves, and I know if you're saved by the grace of God that you realize that, but did we really realize just how awful, how poor down, how worthless that we were in the eyes of a thrice holy God? And if you're here today, if you're ever going to be saved, God is going to have to make you realize your condition. Our pastor a few weeks ago preached a message entitled, Just an Old-Fashioned Sinner. Folks, we don't preach sin like we should. We don't take the Word of God and open up people's hearts to sin. We're looking for those little professions of faith that we can get people baptized into our churches. But we need some good Holy Spirit wrought conviction sin. Because there is hope, but it's only for the hopeless. And here we see our hopeless condition. What could be worse? What could possibly, could we imagine what could be any worse than having absolutely no hope? The best illustration I could give you would pale in comparison to what it is that a person experiences without Christ. Now the promise in the Word of God is ours in our lost condition. Not one promise. No hope. Does anybody remember the Apollo moon missions? Some of you may. I'm old. I remember that. Remember what happened one time? What was there? Two men on the mission when the ship got lost? Was it two or three? They were circling the moon 38,000 miles from Earth. You know, this is bad. If you've ever heard or been to New River Gorge Bridge, that's 1,000 feet down. And I stand there and look over and I go like this. Could you imagine being 38,000 miles from the earth? 38,000 miles. And all of a sudden, Houston Control lost contact with them. They could not bring them home. And they were circling the moon. No hope. And they could hear Houston Control Center talking to them, but they couldn't respond back. And they retracted. They said, all hope is lost. Could you imagine being in a little moon ship? Anybody ever see that? You ever been over here to that place in Dayton? Air Force Museum? I think they got a replica of that or something there. It's like the inside of a Volkswagen. Smaller than that. And could you imagine being that 38,000 miles from home, circling the moon, waiting to starve to death and couldn't get home, and them saying all hope is lost? What's our text saying of hope? Could you imagine being out of darkness in the bottomless pit? mothers weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and the eternal fires and flames forever and forever and forever. No hope. But you know, thanks be unto God, they've given up on bringing those men back and drafting. Somehow they repaired whatever was wrong. And you know what they heard in Houston? Could you imagine hearing those words? Tell us what to do, we're coming home. Folks, I remember when the Holy Spirit, through the blessed gospel of the saving grace of God, told me what to do. And brought me home. Safe. Hope for the hopeless. There's wonderful, blessed hope. There's hope for those who are saved. If you're here and you're lost, there's no hope. You're not going to make it safe home unless you're saved. The Bible says, we can now rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. There are several wonderful things that I would like to point out. Simple, wonderful, blessed truths from the Word of God concerning our hope. See, we have hope that comes through our salvation. We have this hope of eternal salvation that comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. Out of all the things you can say about salvation, you know the most blessed thing that you can say about salvation? Safety. Folks, in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're safe forever. Amen. Safe in the arms of Jesus, the Him says. Safe on His gentle breast. Safe. Saved and saved. Our sins have been forgiven. We have hope. Look in the book of Romans. And we'll point out several things here. Romans chapter 5. You know, sin separates us from God. There's this great gulf of sin between us and God. And the text says here, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That was preached on, wasn't it? You can't have the peace of God without you experience the peace with God. And that's through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace, when we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God in our salvation. You think about that today. Isn't it wonderful that God chose to save us? There's nothing that compares. Everything else pales within this life apart from salvation by grace. And the finished blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all of our sins. And I'll tell you what, do we rejoice in that hope? Do we really rejoice in that hope? Well, I don't know what I'm going to say. You know, but I'm saying, I don't know when it happened. You ever hear that? I'm going to tell you. I know when I was saved. Amen. You know why? I was out when it happened. And you know what? I've been happy and rejoicing every day since. Oh, I have my problems. And I'm going to talk about that. But you know what? I can take you to the time, I can take you to the place when the Lord saved me. And my wife knows I saved me about 3 o'clock in the morning. I woke her up and she thought I'd gone crazy. She said, what in the world's wrong with you? I said, I just got saved. Amen. I have these churches now that are preaching that you have to have a preacher present to be saved. Then I preach in the pulpits. Ain't that silly? I'd like to have a preacher there talking to me, but boy, the Holy Spirit was there. You say you got saved on your own? No, no. There was a man that God used to tell me the love of Jesus. Now that Christ died for my sins. He gave me the gospel, and every time I'd see him, he'd say, I'm praying that the Lord would save you. And guess what? I called him up one morning. I said, "Kermit, the Lord saved me." He was the first one I think ever told outside of my wife that the Lord saved me. Won't you thank God for that salvation that gives us hope? You know, we may have sore troubles in our times, and we do. We may have trials, and folks, we're going through trials in this awful age we're living in. There may be a storm cloud over our horizon. But you know, behind every cloud, there is that rainbow of hope. That blessed rainbow of hope that we have in our salvation that we know that we're saved. You ever read the book of 1 John? I know that I know that I know that I know. He just keeps on telling us we know.
Amen.
Yes, I know I'm saved because the Lord saved me. He gave me His word of assurance. I'm saved. I have hope in that salvation. And here's one that we don't like to hear. Not only is there hope in salvation, but there is also hope in suffering. You know, we're going to suffer. God didn't just save us and put us on streets of gold and see the walls of jasper and the gates of pearl. But we're living in this life. We live with this old flesh and we live in this old world. And there are some dark times. Trying times. Times of persecution even. And it's getting worse. And it's just like what we're going through now with our president. You ever think of this? North Korea is going to get a bomb that can blow up the kingdom come. And there's that other nation that we're trying to say is getting a bomb. Russia joined the family with all the Arabs to destroy us. And the Middle East is a powder keg ready to explode. A U.S. economy is at the brink of disaster, bankruptcy, and everything is going south. Our nation is right on the brink. But you know what our president's worried about? Holding up the restrooms. Restrooms. I told somebody this. You've got the Secretary of Defense, Secretary of the Army, Secretary of the Navy, Secretary of War. You name it, brother. He was in the service officers. What secretary did I leave out? I left out one. Now he's going to have a secretary of toilets. That's the truth. To make sure that 0.1% can overrule and get their way and fall over the rest of the other 99.9% of all the other people, I guess. But you know something? Behind that all, there's hope. There's hope in suffering. Why do we suffer? Because we have to stand for our convictions. Do you have conviction today? Or do you have preferences? Baptists used to have convictions, but today they have preferences. I prefer it to be this way, but if it won't be this way, I'll go this way. I'll tell you what, when it comes to this Bible, this is it.
Amen.
This is our rule of faith and practice.
Yes.
We need no other. And we need to stand till we die. My mother's family was in the persecutions in the Swiss Alps back in the Dark Ages. When people started coming to America, they come to America, the first one comes just after 1600. Or 1700, rather. Around 1700. In 1760, one of my grandfathers brought his family to Kentucky into what is now a five-county area, but then the bone And he set up shop. He lived there until he died. He was a Baptist preacher looking for a place to serve God. He went through persecution. He escaped where he was at. Came through Germany, got on a ship, came to America, came to Pennsylvania. And what did he do? He suffered persecution at the hands of religion. And he came to Kentucky in the wilderness, a frontier. His closest neighbor was about 60 miles away. You know, he never went to Kroger at one time. He never did go to Walmart. He refused to do that. What did he live off of? Whatever God afforded them. What am I saying? Why did he do that? His convictions. He had his convictions. He lived and he died in his convictions. He did whatever was necessary for his convictions. And by the way, he was Baptist. He started 5 Baptist churches in his lifetime, because when the settlers started coming in, they would have a little community, and he started a Baptist church, another Baptist church, another Baptist church. Folks, I'm telling you, we don't have anywhere else to go. And we're going to suffer. We are suffering. You like the school starts back, and you're going to see these schools that are going to succumb, and you're going to have to make a choice to keep your children home or send them to the heathen. You send them to the heathen, and already they won't tell you this, but some of these places already have opened up their bathrooms, and there's rape of every kind. I mean, kids being attacked, and they won't say nothing about it. You know why? Because they're wrong. You say, what can I do? Did you know Target has already lost over $1 billion on their stocks and on their sales? You know what excuse they're using for that? It's because of the weather. People don't get out in the rain and the snow no more. They all stay home. Folks, I'm telling you, that's the truth. But there's hope. There's hope in suffering. Rejoicing in the hope. In chapter 5 in verses 3 through 5 here, if you're already there. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Listen, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given under us. You know who we identify with in suffering? Our Savior. Amen. Can we rejoice in our suffering? Can we rejoice in what's happening to us today in this world around us? You know who's become the enemy of our nation? God's people. Did you hear the president make his speech the other day? Yes. Did you know we're as bad or worse than that man that went in that nightclub and killed all those people? He equal us to them. Right. That's what he said. That's a quote. That we, the Christian people, attribute to their death. But what about the Lord Jesus? You ever follow his life and consider his suffering? In Hebrews it says this, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand of God." Yeah. Who for the joy that was set before him? Folks, do we rejoice in the joy that's set before us? Do we have that wonderful, blessed hope in the appearing of our great God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that He's coming? I know we plead for His coming. I know He's coming, but I'm just going to settle in here like it's here. What did Jesus teach us today? Lord, teach us to pray. Let me teach you what Jesus said about prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
what's the next thing? Thy kingdom come.
Folks, we need to be begging and praying and asking God for that kingdom to come. And I think we'd be more zealous of God, more zealous of His book, His Word, more zealous of His mission, knowing He's coming back. Did you know that glory and suffering always go together? And that hope has to do with the glory of God in suffering. In Romans 8:17, it says, "It be so that we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together." We have hope that comes from salvation. We have hope that comes from suffering. And the third thing is, we have the hope of the Scripture, the Word of God.
Amen.
Romans 15:4. Notice this, "For whatsoever things that were written aforetime was written for our learning." Everything in this Bible was written before we came along and the Lord saved us. Why is it there? For our learning, for our good, for His glory. How much do we know about it? How much do we consider it? How much do we love it? Are we willing to die for the Word of God? Are we willing to suffer for Christ? Do you know how we do that? By our testimony. By laying claim to the book, and living in the book, and by the book, and walking in the Word of God. And that's a reproach to those around us. And we've got to know that and understand that. It was out of our learning that we, through patience and comfort of Scriptures, not have hope. All these things happen unto them, for examples unto us, upon whom the ends of the world are coming. You know, can I say this? Is there a guarantee somewhere in the Word of God, because Jesus is coming back under the great tribulation, that we won't suffer? We won't have great persecution here in this life? Well, it says all that will live godly will suffer persecution. And you know, somehow we have this little stopgap. Brother, your neighbor across the street don't like religion. Don't say anything to upset him. How's he going here? Let me tell you a good new example. We rented a van the other day to send our pastor to Oklahoma on a trip. And another preacher went out there to some mission works. Well, he goes up on Saturday morning and they'd not got the car that they rented. So they called up Ashland, that's 48 miles away. And they said, "Let your wife go home. She'd come to pick up the car with him. And we'll drive him up there and give him the car there and he can go on home and keep it for a week." That really said. Gets in the car and he starts witnessing to this man that's going. And he says, "Oh, I'm an atheist." And Brother Tim says, "Man, this is great. You're the one I need to talk to. Listen, he can't turn back. He gets far. He can't get out because he leaves Brother Tim with the car. So for 48 miles, you call that 48 miles of the gospel he preached to him. I said, "Did he ever get mad?" He said, "He stayed mad." Should you make somebody mad? Well, come on. Is there anybody here that was an old sinner? And somebody witnessed to you and told you were a damnable sinner, that you didn't get mad? I know I did. I got angry when they told me I was a terrible sinner and I was going to hell. Who's a bunch of hypocrites to tell me that, I thought? But that's what we've come to. We've got this stuff down. Oh, that man has a right to his beliefs. Did you ever read about Stephen? Who was standing on this in the head sermon? Boy, he was mad. He, breathing out threatening slaughter, was going to put them damnable Christians to death. They were the enemies of the nation Israel, and the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. Boy, it made them all mad. You know, about half the New Testament was written by that madman. Yeah. Folks, think about that. Suffering. Hope that comes through suffering. To the promises of God to us. God has a promise in every scripture to meet every need in our lives. And we can claim those promises. You know, men of faith in the Word of God are these examples to us. David experienced great disappointment. David walked away from the sheep herd. And he walked into the palace. And then he walked out one day to the mountain down in the valley. Was a giant. Defying the armies of Israel. He walked down into that valley, took that slingshot, took that stone and killed that giant. And they begin to sing, Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. Oh my. Old Saul, man, he got mad. He became a madman. What happened to David? He even went to the Philistines to try to take refuge. He went into a cave. For he was alone and lonely, and so the Psalms that you read of his life was written. And his voice fell of discouragement. But God raised him above it all and put him on the throne of Israel, like he told him he would. Then what happens? You see him marching out of Jerusalem, barefooted, and weeping over his son. A few days later, his general came and said, he's dead. I killed him. He was weeping. Absalom, Absalom, oh, my son Absalom. I could not die rather than he. Discouragement. Oh, how he suffered discouragement. What about Elijah? Disappointment, discouragement. He prayed, it wouldn't rain. Went up on the mountain and met the false prophets and won the game. And had the victory. A few days later, he's running through his life, one woman. Scared him to death. He went to the mountaintop and went in the cave. And the Lord visited him there. What about Peter? Oh, he's a boisterous man. He's a proud fisherman. Peter, you're going to deny me. Oh, not me, Lord. Now these other 11, they'll deny you. Not me, not ever. What happened? Oh, he suffered the worst defeat a man could ever suffer. He followed Jesus afar off when they led him into the hall to try him and to crucify him. Here he was by the end of his fault, wondering himself. Oh, what defeat he suffered because the Lord turned and looked upon him. And the Bible said he went out and he wept bitterly. There's suffering in this life. Suffering. Defeat. Discouragement. Disappointment. And you may be going through that today for some reason you can't understand. But what did Joshua say about that in Joshua 23:14? And behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. And you know, in all your heart, you know, in all your heart, and in all your soul, that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you. Not one thing thereof has failed. Can fail or will never fail. Yeah. Folks, we as God's people, we have hope. We have wonderful, blessed hope. There's hope for every hopeless, helpless situation that you might fall into. Last of all, There is a way of hope. Not only from our salvation, our suffering, from the Scriptures, but we have hope through the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes, I'm not saying that you, I'm saying sometimes I think we never attribute to the Holy Spirit the just that. I think we never remember to call Him He, the Holy Spirit. He's the Holy Spirit. He is. Jesus is the Lord. And the Holy Spirit is the Lord, third person of the triune Godhead. You know the first time you run upon the Holy Spirit? Anybody remember that? I know these preachers do. I know some of your church members do. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven, the earth, and what was the next thing He said? And the Spirit of God moved. When God began to speak, the Holy Spirit of God began to move. I heard these old preachers say it like this. Man, the Lord began to speak, and the Holy Spirit began to move, and the Holy Spirit said, Lord, what you want, that's what you got. I'm going to give it to you. Why? It's God. I've heard preachers say, you never worship the Holy Spirit. You know where they get that from? Pentecostals. Did you know when you worship God, you're worshiping the Holy Spirit? When you worship Jesus, you're worshiping the Holy Spirit. Why? Because these three are one. And then it says, if we're going to worship God, worship in spirit and in truth. He leads our worship. Everything that we know, we attribute to the working of the Holy Spirit. And we have hope in the Spirit. The mighty working of the Holy Spirit. Did you know when I was saved, the Holy Spirit used the gospel and I was regenerated? I was illuminated. I was brought to faith and conviction and repentance. I was justified. All my sins were forgiven me. I was made a fit subject for heaven, and the Holy Spirit of God came into my heart to lead and guide, help and bless me, and blessed be the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. He is still working today, and I'm still saved because He's in my heart. He's in my heart. He's with me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. Did you ever think of this? Some people do and some people don't. What about your lost loved ones? Did the Holy Spirit of God say He would never leave us or forsake us? Well, here's what you say. Here is a cemetery out here somewhere. Remember when Jesus rose from the dead? The Bible says that same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in our bodies. Same Holy Spirit. He was there when Jesus was raised from the dead. You ever think of this? He'd never leave us, never forsake us. Did you know the Holy Spirit is there? He's the third person of the Trinity. He's omnipresent. He's waiting. What's He waiting for? He's waiting to raise them from the dead just like Jesus. You believe that? I do. I don't know if you believe that or not. But you go back and read your Bible, that's like one of them things, one of that bridge, but He's got it, don't He? He's got it in the head. But I believe what God said. He'll never leave us, never forsake us. He's right there with us. Even when these bodies go back to dust. When we're glorified, the Holy Spirit's going to be there. He's going to have part in it. Don't ask me to explain all that. Because I'm not God. Go to Him and ask Him to enlighten you. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, believing that you, listen, may abound in hope, not just have hope, but that you may abound in hope. Not that we would just have hope, but what'd you say that hope would have us? Yes. Abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. See, the God of hope has given us the Spirit of hope. Here is the ultimate of the blessing. It's just not in having hope, are rejoicing in hope. But as this amazing scripture states, abounding in hope. If we as God's people believe a message such as this, and the ones that we've been hearing from the blessed truths of the Word of God, you know what we're going to develop? A super abundant, overflowing, overwhelming hope. And nothing, listen to me, and nothing I shall be ashamed. For sometimes I think when we fail to speak, when we fail to act, when we fail in our worship, when we fail in our devotion, it's because the world is a little bit stiff on us. But who cares what this world thinks? You know, I'd rather please my Savior as to please the President.
Amen.
I'd rather please Him than anybody I know. This comes to us as we give ourselves daily to mind and the Spirit within us. What does He do? What did Jesus say? He will guide you into all truth. I think this was mentioned in one of the sermons. It amazes me to see when crunch time comes how little that people know of the Bible. When I went to Salem Baptist Church a few years ago, there was a woman there, was one of the piano players. She was out for everything, involved in everything. And I thought she was just a great saint of God. But one day we were having vacation Bible school, and one of the ladies comes to me and she said, "Pastor, you need to have Thelma talk to these girls. They've come and they've got shorts on." And she heard us talking. Now, what am I talking about? Not making the world feel bad. She comes to me and she said, "Pastor, those little girls may get mad and not come back if you tell them not to wear their shorts." She said, "If it's all right with you, I'll wear my shorts tomorrow to make them feel better." They had a storm in Second Baptist Church that day, and it wasn't some thunder and lightning. I said, "You know better. No, you're not going to wear your shorts. I'm surprised you even got a pair. Shocked you even got a pair of shorts. What's wrong with churches? That can be wrong with us today. And if you're here, then I'm preaching as long as I want to. See, my watch went.
Hey, watch better than that. No, I've still got 5 minutes.
If you're here today and you're lost without Christ, you're void of the promises of God, you have no hope. 10,000 times 10,000 years from today, 10 million times 10 million years from today, the saints of God will be rejoicing in glory,
yes,
at the feet of Jesus. And you'll be suffering the pains of hell. Folks, that's an awful thing about having no hope. Void of the promises of God. You know what will take care of that today? You want that blessed hope? I'll tell you where it comes from. It comes from Jesus. He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." May the blessed Holy Spirit convict you of your sins and lead you into salvation and hope.
Amen.